So the waiting is nearly over. Homes are being decorated. Who's decorated the home yet? Who's put the Christmas tree up? That's good, that's good. Right, oh, still a few more to go up then. Right. Gifts are being wrapped. Anybody bought all their Christmas presents yet? There's always some, aren't there? I'm more of a last-minute person. Huh? Right. And all across the world, people are looking forward to the big day. But for a short while today, we're going to do something different. We're going to look back to the night 2,000 years ago when there were no decorations, no wrapping paper, not even the warmth of a home. We're going to look back at the night that Jesus was born, the very greatest gift of all, and the very first Christmas. So I invite you to come to Bethlehem to behold him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Long ago, God's people, the Jews, were waiting. They were waiting for a gift God had promised them, a very special person who would help them in their difficulties and save them from their enemies. They called that person the Christ. And if we look in the Old Testament part of the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, we learn that this person was going to be a king. And Sarah's now going to read part of that book from Isaiah.
So a new king will arise from among David's descendants. The Spirit of the Lord will give him wisdom and the knowledge and skill to rule his people. He will know the Lord's will and honour him, and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or heresy. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity.
So it sounds like that Christ is going to be a very special person. But the Jews did not know how long they would have to wait. Already, 2,000 years ago, it had been many hundreds of years since God had promised them this wonderful leader. And some had given up hope. Many, though, continued to wait for the gift, and they searched the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament to find out all they could about him. Those who studied hard had worked out that the Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, which was a suburb of Jerusalem, where David, that's the one who killed the Goliath, had been king many years before. I suppose they thought that this very special person would be born in a palace or temple. So it is no surprise that hardly anyone paid attention to a dingy shed behind an inn, in which cows and goats were kept. But we know, once in Bethlehem, there stood a lowly cattle shed. Bethlehem was a very confusing place to be that night. You see, the Emperor Augustus had conquered so many nations that he had no idea how many people he ruled over. So he decided to take a census and count them all. Everyone, no matter where they lived, had to return to where they'd been born. So Bethlehem was full of strangers trying to get a bed for the night. There were to be no excuses. Even if you were old or ill, you had to go to be counted. Emperor Augustus would not even make an exemption if you were pregnant, not even if the baby was due to be born any day. Now, that is particularly important for two people in the story we're telling today. They are called Mary and Joseph, and Mary was expecting her baby very soon indeed. Mary must have been quite anxious because she knew already that her son was going to be no ordinary baby. An angel had visited her and told her that her baby would be the very person the Jews were waiting for. She was to be the mother of the Christ. So we're going to see Mary. I think Mary's doing some dusting. I don't know. A woman's work is never done. Okay, I think it's a bit dusty over here, Mary. That's it. Right. And Sarah's going to read us the story of this part.
God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a girl promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what the words meant. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, and his ancestor David was, and he will be, the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Wow, that was amazing, wasn't it? And now we're going to move our story on a bit, and it's 9 months later. And Mary, yes, can put her duster away now, because she's going to go off on a journey. In fact, Mary is having to travel about 80 miles from her home in Nazareth to Bethlehem. And of course, no cars then. They might have had a donkey, but possibly they had to walk the whole way. Can you imagine that? 80 miles. Fortunately, though, Mary was not traveling alone. With her was Joseph, who also knew exactly who her unborn baby was, for an angel had visited him too, and he was engaged to be married to Mary. Now, I imagine that because Mary was pregnant, they travelled very slowly. So the result was that by the time they arrived in Bethlehem, the inns there had no room left, and the only shelter they could find was a stable. And we're now going to ask Sheila if she'll come and read the next bit of the story for us.
Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph was there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have a baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
So here they came to the stable. It doesn't look very comfortable, does it? I expect it was cold and drafty as well. But at least it was inside. They probably had a lamp. Oh, arrived at last, that's good. And so, this is where Jesus, the long-expected hero of the Jews, was born, in a stable. He was wrapped in strips of cloth, and because there was nowhere else to put him, Mary put him in the animal's feeding trough, the manger. It's not very Christmassy, is it? It's not very jolly. An unmarried mother, her fiancé, and the long-expected Christ stuck in a smelly stable, waiting for morning. But God plans things in a quite different way from us. And he knew something that no one else in Bethlehem knew that night. He knew that God was the father of this baby, and his son Jesus was his gift to the world. For that tiny baby grew into the child, who grew into the teenager, who grew into the man, who did everything it took for humans to live as forgiven people restored us God's friends. So, let us imagine Mary, Joseph, and Jesus as silently, the wondrous gift of Jesus is given. And as Bethlehem sleeps, deep and dreamless, we will watch the silent stars go by. Now, if you knew that the Christ had been born, who would you tell? Any ideas? The Prime Minister? The Queen? Well, God chose to tell some shepherds on a hill outside Bethlehem. They've got lots of sheep to look after. I hope they're awake because it's the middle of the night. Oh, they look like they're awake. In fact, perhaps they're the only people awake at that time as they guarded their sheep against robbers and wild animals. Shashida's now going to tell us the next bit of the story. Even more amazing. Angels, are you ready?
There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger.
And suddenly, the sky was full of angels singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to all people on earth, for God is pleased with them. The shepherds were amazed. Let's go to Bethlehem, they said, and see this thing which has happened. And they rushed off, telling all the people they met on the way about what they'd seen. So, Jesus was born, the Christ for whom the Jews had waited. Born into a Jewish family, visited and talked of by Jewish shepherds. But God had bigger plans for this world than the Jews even dared imagine. His plan was not just to bring back the Jewish people to be his friends. His plan was to bring people from the entire world, pole to pole, into his family. And while Jesus was crying and feeding and sleeping in the stable in Bethlehem, his birth was having an impact on people hundreds of miles away. We have our star up here. Right. Chris is now going to read the next bit of our story.
Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for out of you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him.
The visit of the wise men probably happened sometime later, and Jesus may even have been a toddler when they arrived. But nevertheless, I think it's right for them to be in the stable too now, with their gifts of precious gold, sweet-smelling frankincense, and a spice called myrrh. Most of all, let's join them in worshipping Jesus, for they were the very first people who were not Jews to sing praise with one accord to the heavenly Lord. And we here today are the most recent. We've seen, haven't we, that on that night that Jesus was born, there were some shepherds on the hills outside Jerusalem, looking after their sheep. It would have been very dark, no street lamps, and very quiet, and no cars. But then suddenly, wow, out of nowhere, an angel appears. Even then, it wasn't that a common event. It must have been terrifying for the shepherds. Was it terrifying, shepherds? Yes, right, that's good. You can see why the angel had to tell them not to be afraid. The sky was all lit up, even better than fireworks night. In Luke, it says, "This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord." So the angel had an amazing announcement to make. And in that announcement, the angel told the shepherds three things about the baby Jesus. And the first one was, it's just what they were hoping for. They were hoping for the Jewish people a saviour. So I brought some presents along. So I've been hoping for something. I don't know if it's in this packet. Would somebody like to open my present for me? You can do that, right? Let's see if it's what I was hoping for. Can you open it? That's it. You can rip the paper if you like. Oh. What is it? What is it? Oh. It looks like some DVDs. Oh, what have I got? I've got Paddington 2, and I've got Frozen. Wow. Paddington is my favourite one. Does anybody else like Paddington? He always gets himself into fixes, doesn't he? And Frozen is good, because next weekend I'm going with my brownies to see Frozen 2. So I'll be able to watch this now, just remind myself of the beginning of the story. Wow. That's just what I think I was hoping for those. So that's good. So, when the angels told the shepherds that Jesus was the Christ, the shepherds realized that Jesus was just what everyone was hoping for. Everyone had been looking forward to a time when God would send his special king. That's what the name Christ means. Jesus is the king that God had promised to run everything. And that is just what we've been hoping for too. It's great when we get a present, isn't it? That's just what we're hoping for. And Jesus is just that. So what have I got? I've got a card here. And that looks a bit boring, doesn't it? Do you think there's a present in there? Do you think there's a present? Shall I have a look? Let's see. It says Rosemary on it, so it's all right. I can open it. Let's see. Well, it's got a card. Who's it from? Oh, it's quite pretty. Look. Says, "To Rosemary, hope you have a great Christmas and a very happy new year. Love from Auntie Margaret." And she's given me three kisses. That's very nice. Oh, wait a minute. What else have I got? Ah, there is something in my envelope. A £20 note. Wow. Well, I wasn't expecting that. That's even better, isn't it, when you get something you're not expecting. When the angels told the shepherds that Jesus was the Lord, the shepherds realized that Jesus was more than everyone was expecting. Everyone knew that God would one day send a special king, but they hadn't realized it was going to be God's son that he was going to send. So Jesus isn't just a king, he's a God. And that's more than we're expecting. It's great, isn't it, when we get a present that's just what we're hoping for, and it's more than we're expecting. And Jesus is just like that. And the third thing we're going to think about is just what we need, a present that's just what we need. So I've got another present here. Do you think it's something I need? You try it. I hope it's not breakable. Whoops. Whoops. Yeah, you can rip the paper. That's all right. Oh, can you see what it is? Hold it up. It's a pair of cozy gloves. Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? Just right for this weather. Is that what I need? I think it is what I need. Standing on the cold platform at Gordon Hill, I definitely need a pair of cozy gloves. When the angels told the shepherds that Jesus was the Saviour, the shepherds realised that Jesus was just what everyone needed. We all need someone to save us so that we can be friends with God. We can't save ourselves. We need someone to do it for us. And Jesus is the Saviour that God has sent us. And that is just what we need. So it's great, isn't it, when we get a present that's just what we want, just what we're hoping for, it's more than we expected, and it's just what we need. And remember this Christmas time that Jesus is that present. Well, I'm sure we're all going to get some really great presents for Christmas, but God has already given us the best present we could ever get because he gave us his son, Jesus. Jesus grew up to be the Christ, a king, but a very different sort of king, who came not only to rule over us, but to guide and take care of us, to be our Lord, human like us, but God as well. And most important of all, our Saviour, the one who came to take upon himself on the cross all the wrong things that we do, all the things that keep us from having a good relationship with God. Jesus, you really are the best present of all.